Welcome to From Betrayal to Breakthrough, and here is a mini dose of Dr. Debbie where I'm sharing tips, suggestions, strategies, and sometimes just motivation to have you move past your betrayal once and for all. Hi there. So today I'm talking about a different type of betrayal, and that's self-betrayal. It's so common, and there's, first of all, there is such a big link between betrayal and self-betrayal, and then just self-betrayal on its own. So I want to dive into it a little bit more. When you think of self-betrayal, what comes to mind for you? What comes to mind for me is when you know something or someone is not in your best interest, and you keep going back to it anyway. Let's take something not as personal as a person, but let's take food, right? For example, you know those potato chips, let's just say, are not good for you, yet you keep finding yourself at the bottom of the bag. That's self-betrayal. You know that watching those shows that create anxiety and fear and you keep watching them anyway. That's self-betrayal. You know that person is not good for you. You know it's a one-sided relationship. You know they're just taking and not giving, whatever it is. And you keep going back, that self-betrayal. Now, before you get all upset with yourself, don't do this. You're doing this for so many reasons. You're doing this because maybe you don't have the skills, the tools, the strategies not to. Maybe because you're just a big-hearted, wonderful, amazing human, which I know you are. And that's why you keep thinking that, okay, I'll just keep giving this person the benefit of the doubt. And you do. So this isn't anything to blame or to just give you a hard time or make you feel badly about. It's only to create awareness. But you know it's self-betrayal by how you feel afterwards. Because if, let's just go back to that food example. If that food were good for you and you felt good eating it, you would, after you ate that food, feel good, or you wouldn't even be thinking about it. Your body would feel good. Your head would be clear, whatever you go about your day. But think about what happens if you were binge eating or just eating something that you know isn't in your best interest, or, you know, drinking or whatever it is. Think about how you feel afterwards. You feel badly. Like, why'd I do that? And then you berate yourself and you get all down on yourself. So how you feel afterwards is your number one clue to know that that choice was a choice that led to the feeling of self-betrayal. And now let's go back to a person. You have an interaction with that person. You feel drained, depleted, spent, angry, resentful, bitter, whatever. Take a look at what happened. Did you compromise your values? Did you compromise what was important to you? Did you not speak up? Did you not hold true to those boundaries that you wanted to implement? What was it that left you feeling that in a way that just doesn't feel good in your body, in your heart, in your mind? That could be self-betrayal. Because if you were having an interaction with someone that you felt valued you and the relationship and everything else, you'd feel better for it, right? You'd have more energy. You'd feel excited for having spent time in that way. You'd feel happy and energized and all of that. If you don't, take a look. That's largely what's going on. So self-betrayal is one of those things that is so deep-rooted. And this could be from so many years ago where you may have conditioned yourself to believe you should just take the crumbs, take what you can get. You're not worthy, deserving of anything more. You're not lovable. You're not this, you're not that, whatever it was. Someone may have actually told you this, and then you interpreted it as, well, I trust that person, so it must be true. And then you take it and you run with it. Or here's the thing, it doesn't even have to be that someone said it. It's just something that you decided to believe and you took it and run with it. And here's the thing, so often, no matter what someone else says, what we say to ourselves is so much worse, so much worse. And we have this harsh inner critic that we allow to live rent-free in our mind that just sabotages our success because of this whole self-betrayal. You know, I did two TEDx talks, and the one that many of you may be familiar with was my second one, Do You Have Post-Betrayal Syndrome? Because, of course, we talk all about betrayal here. But the first one actually was called Stop Sabotaging Yourself. And when we sabotage ourselves, it's like we're betraying ourselves. And I gave these examples in this talk, these examples of these three clients that I had, and I changed their names. But one of them, I was talking about how he or she was this big corporate executive and at the top of her game and, you know, making lots of money in a beautiful office and everything else. Well, she came to see me because her energy was down. So we do a couple of things to get her energy back up, and her energy's up, and so is her clarity. And all of a sudden she realizes, oh my gosh, I hate my job. I don't like what I'm doing at all. I've given up everything for this. I didn't have a family. I never got married. I didn't have a family. I climbed this corporate ladder in this field I chose just to please my parents. I don't even like it, but what do I do? This is all I know. I've given up everything. So instead of pursuing something differently, you know what she did? She went back to what she was doing and sabotaged her success and that feeling of being energized and that feeling of clarity, because what does she then do with that information? She chose, you know, the idea of, well, maybe it's just easier just to not think about it and go back to what she's doing, because it creates this, uh-oh, what do I do now moment. I gave another example of a working mom, and she put on a lot of weight because she was busy getting the kids ready for the day. And then she'd go off to work, and then she'd come home and make dinner and take care of the kids and go to bed, and over and over and over and over again, completely neglecting herself. And then she realized that this is terrible. I need to take better care of myself. I don't like how I look. I don't like how I feel. So she saw me, and this is back in the day, for weight loss. And she lost about 20, 25 pounds or so. And all of a sudden, with this new level of clarity and this new, you know, energy and everything else that she recognized and felt with this weight loss, she said, oh my gosh, you know, I don't even know if I like my job. I don't even know if I like my husband. Well, what does she do with that? So she didn't even realize she was doing it, but she went back to her old way of eating and sabotaged her success. Because think about it. If you're faced now with this realization of, I don't like my job. I don't even know if I like my husband. What do I do with that? That's going to create a lot of questions. If you pursue that, it's going to create a lot of shakeup. So in her mind, she thought, okay, the better option here is just to go back to where I was and sabotage the success that she had from that weight loss, which gave her that sense of clarity. I gave one final example too, and I remember it was a guy, and he used to go every, you know, Friday night or whatever to meet the guys and grab a beer and talk about, you know, their lives and their relationships and everything. And then he realized, you know, it struck him, and he was like, you know, all we're doing is sitting here complaining and nothing's changing, and there's got to be more than this. So he dives into the world of personal development. And if any of you listening, watching have ever done that, you know, it's like you could be a kid in a candy store. All of a sudden, it's like this whole new world you didn't even know existed. Well, that was the case for him. And he was all excited about everything he was learning and how he was growing. And so, of course, now that he's learning and growing, he wants to share it with his friends. Well, as he is, he goes and he shares all the things he's learning and doing and thinking and feeling. And they're looking at him like he's crazy, because now here he is on this new path. And they're like, who is this guy? We don't even know who you are. What are you talking about? So what does he do? What does he do? He stops the personal development. And when he meets with him, he starts drinking a little bit more, sabotaging his success. So it's so subtle. But when we're confronted in any kind of way, it is such a go-to option to just sabotage what we're doing just because it's awkward, it's uncomfortable, I don't like this line of questioning, I'm outgrowing my people, who do I know who's doing these things? I don't know, forget it, let me go back to the familiar known. Even if it stinks. And this is self-sabotage. This is self-betrayal. You know, I use this analogy a lot. You know, I'm big on the analogies. And I use this analogy of, imagine you're swimming. You're swimming in, like, you know, in the ocean, let's just say, or a lake, or big lake or something. And you swim halfway out. Man, that's like a lot to swim halfway out, let's say a lake. And now you're like, you know what? I'm really tired. This is really hard. Let me just go back to where I was. And you go back to the shore. And then you're like, yeah, but you know what? There's this beautiful island. If I just kept going, and you try again, and you go out halfway. I mean, it's grueling. You're swimming. And halfway, you're like, oh, it's just too hard. And you go back. And you do that a bunch of times. Think about what's happening here. You're exhausting yourself going out halfway. And then you're putting in this tremendous amount of effort to go all the way back. What people don't realize is, what many people don't realize is, it's, what if it's the same distance that you went to go all the way back to shore, if you were just to keep going to get to that beautiful island that is so much more rewarding, takes you to this beautiful new space if you just kept going. But you know what happens is this. It's so familiar. The shore where we were is so familiar that we'll spend the effort to keep us to that space that we know instead of venturing into the unknown. And I know this sounds crazy too. If I tell you how many people I've spoken with who have been, they've been betrayed, it's been horrible, it's been many betrayals with the same partner, it's a lifestyle. I mean, it just becomes, this is just the way it is. And they come and they speak with me to see if the program is right for them, the Transform Level program, which they're working with me personally. And their line of questioning is so interesting because it's not, what do I need to do to heal from this? It's, what do I need to do so this doesn't bother me, so I can go back? It's almost essentially so I can go back for more. And it's, clearly my work is not for someone who's like that, but who, if that's where they're at, and totally okay, maybe they just didn't hit their breaking point yet or whatever, but there's too much of a vested interest in just staying in the relationship completely at the expense of their health, their heart, their mind, all of it, but they have their reasons. And that's not for me to judge, but that's where they want to put the work. Get my head to a place where I don't mind. That's self-sabotage. That's self-betrayal. Get my heart to a place where I can tolerate this. That's self-betrayal, right? You see how this works. So what I invite you to do is take a look at all the different areas in your life where you may be sabotaging yourself, where you may be betraying yourself. Is it that you want to climb that corporate ladder, but the change that you may need to make in some area there may be different or awkward or uncomfortable? So you just justify it and say, oh, it's not so bad. This is fine. Whatever. And you betray yourself in that way, where the highest and best version of you would have just said, this is what we're doing. Let's just do it. Or is there another aspect of your life where, even just let's take relationships, where you know that person is hurting you. You know they have no intention of changing now anyway. And instead of justifying it or making excuses for them or coming up with reasons why, well, you know, it's really not that bad or whatever it is, you're settling. When you think of what would the highest and best version of you do, how would they do this? Now, I know there are so many of you, and a lot of you are, you know, and I get this, people write to me, they message me, you have no idea, you know, I can't be the one to break up a family, and I can't be the one to do this and do that. I am not suggesting you do anything. I always suggest everybody get to their highest and best. You get yourself to stage 5, because that's where your best decisions are made. But take a look. Are you sabotaging your success that you're not even willing to get to stage 5 because that stage 5 version of you is going to see things very differently, with strength, with clarity. And then what does that do? That's going to create a shakeup in your mind, because now it's like you see things clearly. What do you do with that? You know, in that first TEDx talk, Stop Sabotaging Yourself, I remember saying, you know, it's like you're holding a pebble with all your might, because if you let that go, it's going to be an avalanche. It's all going to come down. And that's what we do. We prevent seeing things or recognizing things or making those changes or asking ourselves those questions because of the shakeup it's going to create, because of the discomfort it's going to create. But take a look at the price you're paying when you self-sabotage, when you betray yourself. You know, I always go through this, just sort of the sequence of events when I'm thinking of doing something and I'm very easily about to talk myself out of it. And what I do is I look at the regret, and regrets stink, but sometimes there's regret with both choices, right? So it's a question of, well, I'm going to regret if I do this. I'll also regret if I do this. So let's just take, for example, I'm going to regret if I get to stage five because I'm going to see these people for who they really are, let's just say at this point in time. Or I'm going to regret staying stuck and being continually betrayed. So those are your two choices. And if you look at them, both regrets are hard, right? So what I do is I choose the one that stinks a little bit less, right? So which regret stinks less? You're going to regret one of them. Which one stinks less? And you know which one I always tend to choose, and I force myself to do it, but it's really, I've conditioned myself into doing things like this, and it's helped me. And so I want to share it with you. I've conditioned myself into taking the choice, choosing the regret that stinks less. And that's the one that in some way helps me physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. So for example, in a case of, well, do I move to stage five and feel better about myself, but see people for who they really are, right? That's in my best interest. Or do I not move through the five stages from betrayal to breakthrough? Do I stay stuck in stage three? And this way don't have to make any changes, but I'm making myself sick, sad, stuck, small, all of that. And I look at those two and I choose the one where they're both going to stink, but at least if I grow, that's got to be in some way better for me, right? Because we're here to grow. So that's the one I typically choose. So for you, which regret stinks less? No matter what you do, there's that choice. Which one stinks less? Let's go back to something like a food choice. I'm going to, I want to have those chips because when I do, temporarily, it quiets the noise in my head. It soothes what it feeds, what I'm not really feeding, which is, and here's one of the, when I used to help people with emotional eating, it was a question of what am I really hungry for, right? If you feed that, that's the beginning of the end of emotional eating. So I'm feeding that unmet need of loneliness or fatigue or friendship or support or whatever. And instead we binge, right? So the question would be, do I binge? Do I do that, right? Or do I not? And do I move through those feelings? Which one stinks less? Moving through those feelings is uncomfortable. Getting to the root cause of why we're doing something is uncomfortable, right? That temporary binge that quiets the noise is the other option there. Which one stinks less? I would rather get to the reason why I'm doing something. So if you move through the which one stinks less, what are you going to come to? But you'll find that when you condition yourself to make choices like that, I got to say it, you've heard me say, if you've listened to this podcast long enough, hard now, easy later, easy now, hard later, take your pick. It's one of those two. these decisions really force you to do that hard now, easy later, right? Let's take that lake example I gave where you could have been swimming out to this beautiful island and instead you swam back to what was familiar and comfortable, right? So it was, it's hard in that you're putting the effort in to swim, but that's not the hard I'm talking about. It still is easy now, hard later, because you're still not going where you need to go. Instead of hard now, you swim halfway and you're like, no, I'm going to keep going. It's the same distance, but I may get to somewhere amazing, right? That's the hard now, easy later. Look where I am. Let's look at the food choice. Same thing. Hard now, easy later. You may think to yourself, well, it is hard now because I'm struggling with my weight. I don't like my behavior around food. So you're thinking, well, that must be the hard now stuff you're talking about, right? No, the behavior isn't changing. So it still is the easy now, hard later, because you're still doing the behavior that's familiar and comfortable, leaving you with hard later, the weight issues, upset with your behavior. That's the hard now. Instead of hard now, okay, you know what? I want to binge. I want those chips, but you know something? Instead, I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to journal. I'm going to get to the bottom of why I'm doing this. What's at the root of it? What do I really need? What am I really hungry for? That's the hard now. Easy later. Oh my gosh, I had no idea it was this, that, the other thing. You see? So same thing with when it comes to a relationship. Oh my gosh, this stuff is hard. What do you mean I have to change my boundaries and my thoughts and my beliefs and realize my worth and my value and all of that? That's the hard now, easy later. Well, you know something? I see things from a really different space right here. Now, from these eyes, with this perspective, I could move through things a little bit differently or choose not to, but either way, it's coming from a place of clarity and strength. So just to really sum all this up, you want to take a look and say, what's behind the choices you're making? Is it that you're trying all you can to numb, avoid, and distract yourself so that you don't see, so you don't think, so you don't feel, so that you could do more of the same? If so, are you sabotaging yourself? Are you betraying yourself? Or is it time to say, you know what? This is awkward. This is uncomfortable. This is unfamiliar, but I deserve better than this. I deserve better than what my current life is showing me, because your life, everybody, is a representation of so many different things. But a lot of it has to do with the beliefs you hold. If you don't believe you're worthy, deserving, lovable, all of that, well, your choices, your actions, your behaviors will support that. If you start to believe that you are, watch what happens. Now, also watch what happens, because here's where we get stuck. A lot of people aren't going to like it. They're just not going to like it, because think about it. If the relationship works, quote unquote, if you don't feel well, if you're off kilter, if you don't have your confidence in check, right? And that's how it works. And now all of a sudden you regain your confidence, you see your value, you see your worth, and everybody has a problem with it. What does that tell you? If the only way that relationship works is if you don't feel good about yourself, I want you to really think about that. And I'm saying this because I used to do this stuff myself. I was like, well, you know what? As long as I think this way about myself, everybody's fine. What is that? How are we treating ourselves? What are we doing to ourselves so that other people are happy? I remember, it's such a silly example, but back in the day, I used to get together with a bunch of friends, and we would go out to, let's say, a Mexican place. And I was trying to eat healthy. And then there were the tortilla chips. They give you the chips and the salsa and the guac and everything else. And just so I wouldn't seem like the oddball, I would sit there and dive into the tortilla chips just to be, you know, not be questioned about my healthy eating or whatever. And I would leave that and I'd be like, why'd you do that? You didn't want to have those chips. And I would question myself. And of course they tasted delicious. The only reason why I ate them and ate as many as I did was so I wouldn't be questioned, so I wouldn't stand out, so I wouldn't be different. So, I mean, it's a silly example, but it's really not. I was, if you look at it, compromising what was important to me, eating healthy, right? So that no one would say, oh, you're no fun. Why are you doing this? You're different. You're whatever. Because I didn't want to deal with that confrontation. So it is such a small example, such a micro of the macro, right? Such a small example of something that we may be doing on a much bigger scale. Anyway, all of this to say, take a look at different areas of your life. See how it's showing up in your health, in your work, in your relationships. Where are you not standing up for yourself, speaking up, being deliberate and intentional about what you want, who you want to become? And if you're not, question why. Why is that? And then more than that, take it a step further and say, now I want to take a look at the regrets of doing this or doing something different. Which regret stinks less? And if you condition yourself to choosing the regret that stinks less for you, you're making a choice. Remember, we think making no decision is the way to go. Making no decision is a decision, and it's typically not one that's in your best interest. So at the very least, become aware of why you're doing what you're doing so that you can decide, do you want to do something differently about it? If not, again, no judgment. You may not be ready, but there's a higher, better, stronger, wiser version of you that is waiting when you have that level of clarity. And my recommendation is get yourself to stage 5 so you can see and feel and live from that place of strength and clarity. If things are only working if you don't feel well, think of the price you're paying for that level of what you're perceiving as safety. Okay? So I hope this helps. The question is, are you sabotaging yourself? Are you betraying yourself? I mean, this is some deep stuff. Maybe just journal about it. See what shows up for you. I hope this helps, and I'll see you next time.
You need the right tools, support, and the right community to move through the 5 stages from betrayal to breakthrough. And we have all that within the PBT Institute. So join us at the PBT, as in post-betrayal transformation, thepbtinstitute.com. There's a version of you who's so confident, healthy, peaceful, and happy on the other end of your healing, and we can't wait to help you get there. We got you. Thanks for listening, and here's to your breakthrough.